You've tuned into Wisecracking with Winter.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Wisecracking with Winter. I'm making a more concerted effort to do more shows because I've had a lot of complaints from a lot of people, and they're tired of me mailing it in all the time.
You dirty little cunt, you.
That's right, I am a dirty little cunt. Sometimes. I also made a solemn promise to somebody that I would try to swear less. Not completely, just a little less. And most people are on board with that, too. That's a good idea. Livens up the show when you keep it clean. So I thought to send the show into a new direction, I'd play a little something I heard on Facebook. And you know what? I don't like Christian music for the most part. I'm not a fan. But this one really got my toe tapping, so I thought I'd play a little bit for you while I look over my notes and open a beer.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
You can feel free to sing along if you want.
He taught me how to live my life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me. I've had friends before, and I can tell you that he's one who will never leave you flat.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
To pray and how to save my soul. He taught me how to praise my God and still play rock and roll. The music may sound different, but the message is the same. It's just an instrument to praise his name.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I like the bass solo. You see this guy is like gyrating. All right, I think that's about enough of that, and nobody else wants to hear it. So, how have you been? I hope you guys enjoyed the last show I did, where I was completely drunk off my ass. That wasn't embarrassing at all. Listening to that, there were a lot of good moments at Rock USA, though. I wish I could remember them. What can I tell you? It's a four-day rock and roll binge drinking session with Political Paul and Woody in Your Pants. It is what it is. I'm going to continue to do shows like that once a year until I don't do this anymore. So you might as well just get used to that. There's a couple of things going on in the news that I should talk about before I get to my guest, but I'm not going to do it because I'm going to do the news later. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Big G Funhouse Studios, for the first time, I met this guy at an American Legion. I found him dazzling, interesting. He had a lot to say. And I went ahead and invited him on over to the Funhouse. Let's welcome my good friend. I forgot your name already. It is.
We already know my name, and I don't think I should share it again. As a child, it was torture.
How about one more time for all my friends out there that are eagerly.
Can we just leave it at Nick? My first name is Nick.
Yeah. Oh, I remember what the last name is now. No, my fans want to hear it. Right now, they're busy sitting in their underwear, slopping down cereal in their parents' basement. I'm in my parents' second floor, at least. I mean, you really got to be bottom of the barrel to be living in your parents' basement. If you're living on the second floor, it's 100 times
better. Then you're
better.
Big time. You're big time.
You're big time.
Moving on up, as they say.
Yeah.
To the east side or the second floor? One of the two.
Right. I don't own a dry cleaner like Mr. Jefferson, but
You have Flo. What's the name? What's the maid's name? What was her name?
Florence.
Florence.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was the wife.
No, I thought that was the fuck. I was gonna swear.
Oh, see.
I was gonna swear.
Take a dollar out of the cookie jar.
No, his Mr. Jefferson's wife name was Wheezy.
Oh, that's right.
Right, and Florence was a skinny black maid.
Yeah, that's right.
And she was
right.
Always angry, wasn't she?
Always.
She really resented her job with the Jeffersons. I don't know why she stayed. The pay couldn't have been that
but,
great.
You know, I kind of liked him though, because he was kind of a sexist. You know, it was, and I guess that's my mantra, is to be honest. But
your mantra is to be a sexist,
somewhat.
Let's tell the listeners at home, what is your last name?
Pickle.
Nick Pickle.
Nick Pickle.
I love it. It's
great. Oh, God. That was a great name.
It rolls off the tongue. I bet you had no problem in grade school with that.
None whatsoever. I mean, Nick Pickle, tickle my pickle, pickle your nickel. Oh, just fun stuff.
Touch your pickle for a nickel.
Touch my pickle for a nickel.
Did you ever consider pursuing a career and letting people do that?
No. It probably pays pretty well. Probably pays better than what I do now, but.
So, Nick, why don't you tell the friends at home what you do for a living?
Yeah, dumb bastard.
I am the assistant to the greenskeeper at Staples Country Club.
And where exactly is Staples?
It's a small town in northern Minnesota, probably 2.5 hours north of the metro. Population of like 900 and something.
Nice.
And probably 500 of those are meth addicts.
There's a huge meth problem there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you work at a golf course in a town that's predominantly meth addicts.
Correct.
Is there a lot of job opportunities in Staples besides being an assistant greenskeeper?
Oh, no, I'm the assistant to the assistant. So
how many years you got in?
About 14, 15.
15? You figure you get in 20 years, maybe you move up to assistant?
That's what I'm hoping for.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it a lot of ass kissing and stuff like that, or you just got to wait for somebody to die?
Just got to wait for the old man to croak. You know, he's been there for 60-something years.
And that's the assistant?
That's the assistant.
Well, how old is the greenskeeper then?
About 92, I think.
Holy buckets.
Yeah, he's an old man.
Wow. So what does the assistant to the assistant greenskeeper do?
Well, basically, the assistant drives around in a golf cart, paints a little X on where to put the pins. And that's, I dig the holes, put the new flag in, fill the old hole. I move the markers. You know, I check the speed of the greens and so forth. Make sure the rakes are by the traps. I do all the fun stuff. I get my own golf cart, though.
Well, do the shit.
Your own golf cart?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Does it have your name on it? Nick Pickles, like, on the hood or something?
It's kind of funny because I'm an ex-military guy, so I put USS Pickle.
Oh, so you were in the Army.
No, I was in the Navy.
Oh. Is that a branch of the Armed Services? I thought that was kind of like never mind. That joke wasn't going anywhere. I don't know where that's going to go.
Well, do the shit.
So, Nick, do you want to talk a bit about what you did in the Navy, or would you rather focus on the greenskeeping
thing? We can talk about whatever. I'm your guest. You lead and I'll follow. I'm like the shepherd to your flock.
The shepherd
flock? You're the shepherd to my I am the you're the shepherd, I am the flock.
Well, Nick, I hope you don't mind, but I'd like to pull up some mood music before we talk about the Navy.
Can we kind of dim the lights too a little bit?
Is that how they do it in the Navy? Are the lights generally down?
In the birthing rooms, or not the birthing rooms, the rooms where all the bunks were, yeah, it was always dark. Because you had crews that were sleeping 24 hours a day, around the clock.
Okay, hold on a second. I finally found it.
He needs.
Okay, Nick, I found something. You guys probably played a lot of this in the Navy. Or I'll just keep it on in the background, quietly. So what did you do in the Navy?
Well, I was machinist mate. I was in charge of the atmosphere control equipment, the diesel generator, the hydraulic system, and just overall just maintain the mechanical equipment on the submarine.
Was that on a battleship?
It was on a submarine.
Oh, I don't even listen to my guests. So on a submarine,
Yes, sir.
You in a tin can.
Still full. It wasn't tin, it was still.
Oh, full of eligible bachelors?
Full of them. Yeah. There's 125 on our crew.
So how long were you guys cruising along the bottom of the sea listening to disco and this song?
Well, let's see. It all depended on the mission. You know, sometimes we'd go out for just a few days. Sometimes we'd go out for up to 4 or 5 months.
4 to 5 months in a tin can with other men. Was there a lot of sexual tension? A
lot of sexual tension. I think every guy on board had, like, Playboys and penthouses. You know, back then we didn't have, like they do, you know, the smartphones and all that stuff now. So we had to rely on magazines and...
Or each other.
if that's what it was. But yeah. Sailing takes me away
to where I always heard it. Yeah, I bet there were a lot of nice relationships you had.
Oh yeah, lifelong friends. Definitely.
You're heterosexual, right, Nick?
Definitely.
What was that like being on a submarine with a name like Nick Pickles? When there had to be a few gay guys running around that boat. You can't tell me with a straight face, and it doesn't look that straight to me anyway, that there weren't gay guys on that boat.
Well, we had, for certain, we had a gay officer.
Oh, gay guy in charge.
Correct. But this is back in the don't ask, don't tell phase of the military, so you really couldn't come out and say you're gay because you would have been kicked out of the military.
So it all had to be pretty hush-hush
covert
on the old submarine, huh?
Just like our submarine. Covert.
So, how did you work around it?
As far as... me?
I don't know. I'm getting to know you. Are you you're not gay at all.
Definitely not.
You didn't experiment? Because, you know, most people experiment when they're in college, and you skipped college and just went directly...
Right.
Into a tin can with other guys.
But see, all the submarines in the fleet, we have our own submarine tender, which follows around the world while we're doing our missions. And on these submarine tenders, there would probably be 200 to 300 women on board. So we'd have to go like 4 or 5 days at a time without the essence of a woman. But we had our fix.
Tell me about some of your ports of call. Tell me about one amazing night in the Navy with presumably a woman. Because that's kind of like a segue of what I'm getting into. Nick Pickles, albeit he's not a world beater as far as making money goes, he's very good with the ladies. And this segment's kind of about helping guys over the age of 40 who find themselves single again. I got divorced, well, not so recently. It was... I can't turn this song off. I like this song.
What song? I don't even get to hear it.
It's Sailing by Christopher
Cross. Oh, sailing, sailing away. Oh, man, you're bringing back memories now. I'm about to get out the lube.
Oh, I think it's wrapping up. Okay. So, anyway, I'd like to hear a good sailor story.
Well, I think in my vast memory, one of my all-time favorite stories was we stopped in Naples, Italy. And Naples, Italy is kind of like the trash compactor of the world. It's beautiful, but not the most cleanly of places.
Why is that? I thought all of Italy was beautiful.
Well, unfortunately, Naples doesn't have a true, like we have a trash compost location. So most of the stuff... of their trash goes into the ocean, unfortunately. I mean, it's probably changed.
So the
now.
Italians are a bunch of dirty polluters! Yeah, I'm not eating spaghetti anymore or pizza.
Yeah, ban it all. Abolish the Italian food. But anyhow, so four of us went to spend a night on the town.
Uh huh.
And we went to this club.
Yeah.
In this club, we're sitting there dancing, we're buying drinks. And what's funny is because. There, it's like also known to have like these little like street market things. They had like fake gold, fake leather jackets. So all of us Navy guys are in there, fake leather and these gold chains, thinking we're the coolest thing on the block. So anyways, we're dancing. We meet these four Asian women, beautiful, sexy, great legs, perfect butt, big boobs. And we hit it off. They invite us back to their little one-room flat. And we're sitting there. We're listening to music. We're making out. And all of a sudden, my friend Derek gets escorted to the bed. And the other three of us are on the couch with these women. And this Derek lays on the bed. This girl goes to give him a blowjob right in
what
front
the hell?
Of us. Just going to town. And we're like, wow, nice show. And, you know, he does what men do.
So wait a minute. Okay. Let me put a pin in it.
Sure.
So how many guys were watching your friend get a blowjob?
Three.
So there was four of you total?
Yes.
One guy is laying on the bed receiving oral from a good-looking Asian girl?
Correct.
And the rest of you just stand there with hard-ons and watch?
No, we had girls on our laps.
So each of you had a girl on your lap.
Correct.
And one girl just decided, you know what? Fuck it. Me so horny.
Me love you long time.
Is that what she said?
Pretty much.
Did she say that in Italian?
No, she said in a little Asian voice.
Oh, me so horny, me love you long time.
Hey, God, you almost sound just like her.
Really?
Yeah, perfect.
That's nice. And so she undid his fly and pulled his cock out.
Correct.
And she went to town on him,
proceeded
didn't she?
Proceeded to go to town on him.
And you guys just sat there and watched that fully erect, I would imagine,
correct.
Right?
And he was from the Blue Mountains of Tennessee, so he had like the southern deep draw, you know? And he's just like, God damn!
Is that what attracted you to him?
He was just a goofball to begin with. But anyhow, so the funny thing about it is, so after he completes his blowjob in her mouth, she stands up and says, "Now that I've done you, you got to do me." Lifts up her skirt, and a bigger dick falls out of her skirt than he had in his jeans.
End of subject.
Is that what turned you on?
No. So we all pretty much just got up and ran out of the room because we thought, okay, they're probably all this transvestiter.
Well, see, the thing is, Nick, what we're trying to dispel on this episode are all the gay myths about the Navy.
Oh, they're all myths.
But what you just told me is extremely gay because it turns out that your shipmate was with a guy. And you sat around and watched a guy blow your friend.
Well, it wasn't like we had like spotlights on it. I mean, it was kind of a lightly lit room, so it wasn't like we could. But we knew what was happening.
You knew that a guy was blowing your friend?
Yeah. Well, you remember that time?
That's the gayest thing I've ever heard.
No.
I thought it was supposed to be straight in the Navy.
But remember that time at the bar when you were telling me the story about your deer hunting story where you guys brought a couple of women back to the thing and you heard him getting laid up above you? It's kind of the same thing.
I didn't watch.
Oh, but you listened. You could have left the little tiny camper that you're in.
And it was a girl. You watched a guy.
But we didn't know that until the very end.
You got to say it like 2 seconds ago. You knew it was a guy. Did you know that that your shipmate was with a guy?
No.
You did not know that.
Until she stood up and said, "It's your turn to do me." And then she lifted up the skirt when the wang fell out.
So it was a what is that called?
I think it's a shemale. I don't know. I don't know what the technical term these days are. Back then it was just a trans. I don't know.
Transvestite?
Yeah.
Was the transvestite erect?
No.
So was she laughing because she knew that your shipmate wouldn't honk his horn?
Correct.
Okay, so what happened after that when he realized it was a guy?
We all left the sub.
No, I mean, things. You said it wasn't on a submarine.
No.
It was in Italy, in Naples.
Correct. It was in a little tiny, like, loft.
You keep jumping ahead. So when she pulled her cock out, what was the reaction is what I'm looking for, because that's what all of my listening audience has done right now.
Well, like
they've sat their spoons by their cereal bowl and they're listening intently.
The three of us on the couch just basically threw the women that were on our laps onto the floor. We stood up like, holy shit, and we're like, we gotta get out of here. And Derek's like, God damn, that was the best blowjob I've ever had.
So he wasn't that down about it.
He wasn't that down. I think he probably went back the next night.
Is that a fact?
I do think so.
Was it free?
Yeah.
So they weren't prostitutes.
Correct.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's something.
Yeah, we found out after we left that port that they were the Naples, Italy was a transvestite capital of the world.
I thought that was Thailand.
Oh, it probably is now, but back then it wasn't.
How ironic that you guys decided to dock there.
It wasn't by choice.
So there's that wacky story. Do you got another one for the fans out there?
Well, let's see. What would be another? Well, I can't. I mean, there's a lot that come to mind, but there was a time that we were playing war games with the Sixth Fleet, and our submarine lost the entire Sixth Fleet, which...
No, wait a minute. Wait a second.
Jesus Christ!
We want to hear sex stories.
Oh, sex stories.
I don't want to hear about actual naval things that happened.
Sex stories. Well...
We can probably watch your battle on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, probably could somewhere, yeah.
That's, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, sex stories. I don't know a lot of the... I mean... One of my very good friends, he was probably one of my best friends on Navy. His name was Wayne. And he chased this girl, Tony, for probably 2 years. Bought her gifts, took her on trips. And he was pretty much the friend zone of friend zones. He never even got a kiss out of her.
How much money do you think he spent on her total?
Probably, I mean, back then, I bet you it was probably $3,000, $4,000. And this is back in 1988, 89.
Uh-huh.
So in today's terms, that's probably $10,000.
That's a lot of money.
It is. But anyhow, so he tried and he tried and he tried, and she didn't give him. So one night we got home from one of our runs, and we rented this three-bedroom, like, hotel room. And we had this guy. His name was Matt. He was like Mr. Beefcake. I mean, he was a GQ model, and... He had a dick that was probably 10 inches long.
Have you seen it?
Oh, of course we had to, because we were on a submarine together.
Why would you have to?
Because you're in a crew in a submarine that has 125 guys, and you have to share a bathroom that has like three different showers in it, and you only have so much time to shower. So you'd probably be in a bathroom with five naked guys, because that's what you only had so many minutes to get to on watch.
Well, I don't want to do that.
Had lights on saying, hey, come check out me. I'm in the bathroom. It's just... You know, like, if you go to a gym nowadays, there's going to be a naked guy in the locker room.
I heard. So on the Navy, they're trying to save money, right?
Correct.
Did you guys all share one bar of soap?
No.
Did you have to lather each other's private parts?
No.
To save water?
Nope.
Just still sounds gay. So anyway, back to the story.
So anyhow, so we had this party, and this Matt was there, and this Tony chick was there that Wayne tried to, and one night. And he and Matt had this thing where every time he'd meet a new woman, he would find an excuse to have his dick hanging out of his pants.
What would be the excuse?
Oh, he would like act like he's drunk and like he's having a hard time zipping it up. Or sometimes he would act like he stumbled out of the bathroom trying to pull up his pants. It was just always something. Or he'd, you know, because he was like this fit guy. So he'd always act like, oh, I just got back from the gym. I need to change into my clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
That do it for you?
No. But so anyhow, so this Tony and her couple of her friends were there, and so Matt came out of the bathroom like he normally does. We're like, oh, you know, it's about to happen now. And all of a sudden she saw his monster tool there, and next thing you know, like 2 hours later, he's banging the hell out of her. And poor Wayne, who invested all this money into her.
So what's the moral of the story?
That women are just shady.
They can be, but do you think they change when they get a little older?
Oh, I think so.
Like when after the age of...
Like after 70, maybe?
Oh, after 70 years old.
Maybe.
That could be.
Goddamn right.
So, I have a girlfriend now.
Yes, you do.
So, I'm off the free market. It didn't really take that long for me. But I know friends of mine that I'm not going to name because they get sensitive about it, have a hard time finding women and retaining women and sleeping with women.
Right.
Nick, you've had a really good track record with women. It doesn't seem like you really have. You're divorced also.
Correct.
I don't think you've ever had a hard time getting women and sleeping with them. What is the trick? What are guys missing that they're not doing right?
Well,
now, I think you know the guy.
I do. And
I think I'll drop the charade. I've known Nick Pickles for a little while, so I know a little bit about his background. So The guy I'm talking about, and guys like him, what is the problem there?
Well, I think the biggest problem is they become whipped. I mean, they meet these women who they think are their dream women, and they want to keep them. So they basically let these women just walk all over them, treat them like, and then, you know, they're like the yes man of these females. And, you know, you can't be like that. I mean, it's good to be nice to the woman and treat her well, but yet she also needs a little let her know who's the boss type thing.
So I think what you've done here is skipped ahead a couple of steps.
Okay.
Should we first think about clothing? Is that important, or can you just keep wearing the stuff from the mid-90s and play it off?
No, you got to stay current. You got to dress nice. You got to look the part and, you know, have some confidence. And part of that is the way you dress.
Where do guys go that are on a budget these days to get where do you go?
Well, I go to a few stores, but actually some of my favorites are Marshalls and TJ Maxx. You get nice designer clothing for a good price.
What should the guys be looking for? I mean, because if they're not used to impressing women, and they're like starting from ground zero, what kind of outfits should they be trying to put together?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because you're going to go back to the gay thing, but in my...
Well, I think we've ran that into the
ground.
Well,
no, but when I first moved to my mecca of... You know, the Staples, for the longest time, they thought I was gay because of the way I dress. You know, I get my eyebrows waxed, and I do all that stuff.
Right.
So, but, you know, but in the town of Staples, it's camouflage city. You know, I think these men would try to blend in with the, you know, mean streets of Staples, and they all wear camouflage or NASCAR.
And that doesn't do it for women?
No, it doesn't.
But that's all they're used to.
That is what they're used to. But when, you know, new guys come into town, and they see a nice dressed man with confidence, and they're like, all right, this guy is working with something. I'm interested now.
So how does that translate to the big city?
To the big city? I mean, it's just, you know, kind of the same thing here. I think if you dress if you dress nice and, you know, show confidence and treat women with respect, we also need to let them know that, you know, you can satisfy them personally on a nice level, but you can also take care of them in the sack.
So how do these guys, like this friend of mine, how do they go about finding women? How did you find your women?
Well, a lot of mine I just found through, you know, different places. You know, I bump into them at street dances, town festivals or
truck stops.
And then, you know, the back pages of certain magazines or, you know.
Honestly, I mean, when you're in your 40s, you're getting a little too old for the bar scene. So then where do you turn?
You know, it's kind of funny, but I mean, anything, churches, you can go to laundromats. Grocery stores is a great one because, you know, there's a lot of single women shopping at grocery stores.
Well, give me an example of how you would pick up a woman at a grocery store.
Well, you just walk in and you just give them a nice compliment, like, you know, hey, I like, you know, something about her. And then you just do some type of a silly pickup line and just...
Let's act it out.
I'll
pretend I'm the girl and you're the guy and we're at a Hy-Vee. Free plug.
Oh, Hy-Vee is a nice store.
I've been through it. I've been through one. I'm not, you know what? I'm not going to sit and talk. It's a fucking grocery store. Okay, we're in here. Yeah, I'm just wheeling along.
Yes.
I don't have any kids or anything. So.
Well, first you got to let her know you're kind of a bachelor. So you walk up to her and say, hey, where can I find toilet paper? Act like you're just.
Well, so ask me.
So like, hey, excuse me, I'm trying to find the toilet paper. Can you point me to the aisle that it's in?
You know what? I don't work here.
Well, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for bothering you. I just. You know, I'm a single dad. I'm just trying to find the right stuff for my kids. And
oh, well, that's good that you're doing your job as a dad. That's so endearing.
Oh, and by the way, I love your haircut. Look, it really enlightens your eyes.
Thanks a lot. I cut it myself.
Really?
Yeah.
We did nice work.
Yeah, I just use a mirror.
And then you just walk away and let her think, oh, yeah, here's a cute guy that just gave me a nice compliment and just walked away. We didn't push it for more.
So you may not necessarily be cute, but you have to act like you are?
Correct.
Ah, see, there's the rub.
Yeah.
So, okay, I go about my shopping. Now I'm in the fucking pasta aisle or something. Do you creep back over there?
Nope. Just you know, just even just walk by, but not act like you notice her, but just, you know, give a casual smile and, you know, give her like a little flirty wink, that just so you know, like trying to creep her out, but just say, hey, I notice you.
That guy again, the single dad that does his job.
Yeah.
He must have found the toilet paper. I guess he isn't completely retarded.
And then you pick up this eggplant and you're like, damn, is this an emoji or something?
Is that supposed to make her laugh?
Well, because, you know, in the emoji world, the eggplant is supposed to represent the penis or dick, whatever you want to call it. So, and you can just say, this is kind of small, isn't it?
See, now we're kind of like going backwards back to gay Navy stuff here.
Oh, come on now.
I thought you were supposed to be straight.
Oh, I am straight, but you...
Anyway, so we're at the grocery store.
The grocery store. Hy-Vee plug.
Right, sure. Head over to your local Hy-Vee and make sure you pick up some wings. And I think the tuna salad is on sale this week for $1.99. That's Hy-Vee. So I'm in line now, checking out. I'm minding my own business. And what do? Creep up behind me?
No, it's just, just try to get out ahead of her and just and try to do the cool thing as you're...
Block the door with your grocery cart so I can't get out?
No, but you just, after you empty your cart, you just put in the cart, you know, hope that she's parked near you. So when you're pushing the cart back to the corral, you can say, hey, it's nice meeting you.
Let's play little devil's advocate. And let's say that I'm on the opposite side of the parking lot. So do you just come rushing across the lot with an empty cart?
No, then you just kind of leave it alone.
Well, let's say I'm parked right next to you. Okay. So you're putting away your toilet paper and whatever else you picked up for the kids. And there I am putting my stuff in the trunk. What do you say to me?
You just say, hey, man, wow, that's what a coincidence. We're parked next to each other. And just say, hope you have a great day. And just.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Did you follow me in here?
Nope.
Okay. That's a pretty nice car you've got. What is that? Is that a Toyota Corolla?
No, ma'am. It's a 1979 Ford Pinto.
Wow.
In aqua blue.
I thought all those exploded back in the 70s, along with disco.
Disco? We just heard disco still lives.
Where?
Oh, that's right. We're playing Sailing.
I try to steer away from the gay stuff, and keep bringing it back.
I thought we were listening to YM's or Village People earlier.
No, we were listening to Sailing by Christopher Cross. It doesn't get much more straight than that. I don't know if Christopher Cross is still alive. I couldn't tell you.
Huh.
I heard once that he relocated to a town in Iowa called Coin.
Is that like the cow tipping capital of the world or something like that?
Actually, no. Oh. It's the county seat.
Oh.
Everything that's anything happens in Coin, Iowa.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not. And where is Coin, Iowa?
It's down in the southwest corner.
Okay.
Right. It's by Essex and another town called Shenandoah. That's the name of the town.
Is that named after Shania Twain?
I could be.
Huh.
I think Shania Twain said that she'd throw them $10 if they named a town after her.
Wow.
So they were strapped for cash.
And did they have a parade with the $10, or what'd they do?
They can make it stretch down there.
Yeah.
So
they probably built a new library or something.
No, Coin is where it's at. Everybody knows that.
Coin.
Yep. When I retire, I'm going to buy a house by Christopher Cross and live there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In town. I'm not going to live out in the farm. I want to be a townie.
And how big is Coin, Iowa?
Coin? It's about 500 people.
Really?
Yeah. It's just enough.
So what is in the town of Coin, what is the cow... human ratio?
Oh, cow to human ratio?
Yeah.
It's about 4-1, so there's a lot of sleeping around.
Really?
Mm-hmm. People aren't faithful in Coin. It's not one cow and one man.
Wow.
It's one man and several cows.
Huh. I did not know that.
That they own.
Right.
I don't know what you were thinking about. I mean, most cattle farmers don't own one cow.
Right.
Right. But I think me and Christopher Cross could make a go of it there.
Oh, I bet you guys could do very well.
Open a general store.
Would you run for mayor?
I think I got too much of my past. I mean, all it would take is whoever's running against me, probably some 75-year-old woman, this to point out this podcast, and that'd be enough. Because Coyne raises the bar a little higher.
But you'd have Christopher Cross backing you, though.
I could walk into Essex and run that town tomorrow.
Yes, you could.
But Coyne.
Coyne, that's tough. That's a different story.
Coyne, there's no way. You know? You got
to. So when was the last time you've been down to Coyne, Iowa?
We're not talking about Coyne, Iowa. We're talking about ladies and how to pick them up.
Oh, okay.
If you just tuned in, which is weird because it's on demand. It's not like you just got in your car and I happen to be on the radio. I'm talking to Nick Pickles. Nick
Pickle.
Pickle. There's
only one pickle, not pickles.
It was pickles plural in the Navy, though, right?
Five at a time.
Sword fights, plenty. And we're talking about guys over 40 and how to pick them up. So he did go into detail about how to stalk women at grocery stores.
I
mean, you could try that. What are some other avenues?
Well, like I said, I mean, church is a good place. Just go to church every Sunday, and women think you're a Christian, loving, and you act like you're really listening to what the sermon's all about. And
wait, there's got to be some mood music for that. There's got to be something. All right, I got some mood music to put us in the church here, Nick. All right. So we're sitting in church. Let's just say it's kind of wrapping up.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you don't hit on them while the pastor or the priest is delivering the sermon, do you?
No, you don't hit on them, but you try to make eye contact and just kind of act like whatever he's saying is just really hitting home. Like, man, that's a strong message. It's hitting me in the heart. And just try to act like, yeah, I believe what he's saying. I want to put it forward in life and just heed the message and just go for it.
Okay. So I'm going to be that same girl from the grocery store.
We're stalking each other.
Now I'm stuck behind you at a pew at church. So right. What do you turn around and say to me?
Well, you know, at a Catholic church, they have that moment where, you know, you go around and give peace to each other. You shake hands and just say hi and
right.
Say peace be with you and all that. Oh, yeah. And so you just...
So you turn around, and here I'm going to be her again, and you turn around, and what do you say to me?
You reach your hand out to her, and you hold it a certain way. You hold it like, you know, you're trying to be,
well,
you know, you are genuine.
Well, let's act it out for the kids at home taking
your
notes.
Your cock is out. I'm talking about handshake.
No, I'm talking about handshake. I'm going to be the girl again, and you be you, and,
okay.
And you try to pick me up at church. Ready? Go.
Okay, go. So we reach out, and we...
Hi, didn't I see you at the grocery store the other day?
You may have.
What are you doing in a church?
I'm just following my beliefs. I'm right.
Well, that's very good. So you're a father and you happen to go to church.
Correct.
Wow, you're the perfect man.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I only try to be the best person that I can be.
Yeah. Well, peace be with you.
And may peace be with you.
Hey, I never caught your name. What is it? Okay.
Well, no, it's Nick. But you can't give the right name right away.
Okay. Nick, what's your last name?
Pickle.
Nick Pickle.
Yes.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to know what name to give the police. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Enjoy your day.
Right. Have a blessed day.
You as well.
All right. It didn't work.
It didn't work?
No. She just gets creeped out by you every time.
That's maybe that's the look I have. Maybe I should take off this sex mask.
Yeah, it's got to be tough to breathe. Right now, Nick is wearing a leather mask with eye holes and like a zipper for a mouth. And
correct.
He's got it unzipped right now.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an unusual look. Do you wear that out in public?
Only sometimes.
Huh.
Mostly at night.
Well, good for you, Nick.
Hey, thanks.
So to wrap it up, to me it sounds like confidence, a decent set of clothes, and the right venue are all you need. What about online dating using apps? All the kids are doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not hip to the technology age, but I suppose it works.
You never tried it?
No.
Well, I heard it works wonders. Well, Nick, I want to thank you for coming in today.
You are very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
It's been enlightening. I'll play out a little church music.
Thank you.
And Nick Pickles has been brought to you by Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty. That's Paul Lambie, Carpenter Realty, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah.
let's say you've lost all faith in God. You've lost all faith in mankind. You've lost your marriage. And you've become just a vagabond, nomad, traveling the land. I hope you land in Indianapolis, because that seems like a welcoming place for the trash of America.
Yeah.
And if you go there, you go find Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty, and you say, Paul, I need a house, and you're the last guy on earth I have faith in. Please find me something before I blow my brains out. And Paul will do that. He will find you a home that you can be proud of, where you can pick up the shattered pieces of your life and start anew, probably working at a spark plug plant or something. That's Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Realty. Okay, you lucky ducks, it's time for a brand new segment here on Wisecracking with Winter. It's the news. I'm going to try to bring in a new special guest on every episode to help me out with the news. And today I have Madison Bruce, a junior at the University of Minnesota studying journalism. She will be my intern today. Welcome, Madison.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
How's the U of M treating you?
It's good.
You like it?
I do, yes.
3 years of college, one more to go. Are you excited to jump into the wide world of journalism?
Sure.
Maybe you'll have your own podcast someday, huh, Madison?
Don't think so.
What excites you most about journalism?
Getting to use my creativity in my mind.
You seem like a pretty creative gal. Have you pledged any sororities yet at the U of M?
No.
So you kind of stayed away from the whole Greek scene?
Oh, yeah.
Just living in an apartment on campus?
Yep.
What's your favorite bar over there?
I'm not a drinker.
How about the Poorhouse? You ever been over there? It's a newer bar over in Dinkytown there.
No, I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. So you're going to handle the news for me today. Do you and your friends listen to Wisecracking with Winter a lot?
Yes, we do.
Well, cool. So what do you got for me in the news? Let's go over it.
Well, I thought we could start off with Valley Fair in Shakopee, Minnesota, the stabbing that happened.
There was a stabbing at America's favorite family fun park, Valley Fair?
Yeah, well, I guess there wasn't a stabbing, but there was knives all over and people going after each other.
Knives all over and people going after each other. It sounds like a riot.
It was.
Who was called in to break this up?
Well, it was Burnsville and it was Shakopee, and they've been fighting for at least 2 months now. And someone said that we're going to settle it at Valley Fair. So they met up somewhere.
So let me just break in. So the police departments were fighting each other?
No. Burnsville and Shakopee students were fighting against each other on social media. And they all agreed that they would break it out and solve it at Valley Fair.
Why solve it at Valley Fair? Why not go to an empty parking lot like in West Side Story? Have you ever seen that musical?
No.
Well, maybe you'll end up studying that a little later in your college career. But
yeah.
So they met at a family theme park. They're currently doing the Halloween thing out there, aren't they?
Yes, Valley Scare.
Valley Scare. Have you ever tried that out yourself?
Yeah, I have.
Pretty scary?
No.
At any point, did you feel like you needed to poop your pants?
No, Michael, I have not.
Well, you are a college student. So how did the story unfold?
Well, I heard some of my younger friends were there, a little younger, first year of college is here. They were all there, and I guess these people were in a little group, and my friends were on the wild thing, right? And they were shouting at these people, and all of a sudden these people heard them. And they ran over, and all these people with the knives scattered again all around the park. And there was cops flooding the whole parking lot. Not a room left for a car. They were all there. They had to evacuate all people there, or they had to take people and hide them, because the people with the weapons scattered off and hid everywhere. So they don't know where they went. And eventually, after 3 hours, I think they got everyone out of there, and they secured the premises, and they got all the people out of there that had the weapons, and I think they're still on the investigation of finding the weapons and figuring out why they were doing that.
So, who ended up going to jail?
Not sure. That's not that's not up and running yet on the Shakopee Police Department page.
What? And well, okay. Well, I hope those kids have learned their lesson about picking huge fights at Valley Fair. What else is going on in the world?
Well, Hurricane Florence just hit, and I saw it.
You got some notes on it. We got to come to the show prepared. Here at the Big G Studios in beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota, this is a bastion of professionalism.
Yeah.
So do you have your notes?
I do.
Okay. What's going on with, you said that there was a hurricane?
There was. It was in parts of Georgetown County, if any of you know where that is. They saw at least 10 feet of flooding from this Hurricane Florence that came about last week on Thursday. And it went all throughout the weekend.
It began?
Yes, it began.
You take it in English at the U of M? Or?
No.
Okay, just journalism, which is, I think it's could have swore it's part of the English department. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it started Thursday, and it lasted the whole weekend. It hit all through South, all through North Carolina. There were streams everywhere. It was in completely, it just broke out. It, like, ruined so many families and houses, and it swept out those two states.
Really?
It did, yes.
How many people died?
61,000 people were injured, and 8,000 had to evacuate. 61,000 died, 8,000 had to evacuate those two states to be able to be safe.
Wow. Where did they get evacuated to?
I'm not sure. Did they go
to Minnesota? What about the dogs and cats? Did anybody bother to save them, or did they just all die?
Well, I don't know. I saw some videos, and I guess they just were swept up in this hurricane, and the owners came back, and they found all their animals laying with all the stuff on the streets.
Did Donald Trump do anything to help? Our president, Donald Trump.
No, he did not.
We don't have victories.
I guess he just doesn't help.
No, he doesn't. Not at all.
So, well, you know what it is.
We can't do anything right. Our military has to be strengthened. Our vets have to.
Oh, thank you, Donald. I'm putting in little Donald Trump sound effects as you're doing the news.
Ah.
So is there any flooding as a result?
Yes.
Like the rivers have flooded?
I believe so, yes.
You're pretty sure that they did?
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of flooding, has there been any flooding over at the U of M campus with all the rain we had last week?
No, but there have been some streams in that road from all the rain.
There's some streams in the road from the rain?
Yeah.
Well, in other news, what else is going on? I heard you had something about Bill Cosby.
Yes. Got sentenced.
Well, why don't you just read the story for me instead of... You're like chopping it up a little bit. Let's stick to the script. Read the story.
Day one of Bill Cosby sentencing hearing for drugging and sexually assaulting Andrea Costand 14 years ago. Ended with a big break for the disgraced star. Considering that he had been facing a maximum of 30 years in prison.
According to nerds,
Cosby, 81, was greeted outside of Norristown Parkcourt on Monday by hashtag MeToo protesters, calling him a rapist. But they didn't break his strike as he made his way to the courthouse with the assistance of his team.
Yeah.
The actor is now legally blind. His wife, Camille, whom he married in 1964, did not accompany him to court.
I'm sorry, what was the last thing?
Did not accompany him to court.
Okay, what else?
The scene outside the court was quite a spectacle, but inside, Cosby was given some relatively good news.
Relatively good news?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
While his conviction on three counts of felony, aggravative indicted.
We don't want hostility from the families.
Had a potential to carry a 30-year sentence. with a maximum of 10 years each. Judge Stephen O'Neill said that Cosby would be sentenced for just one count.
Just the one count?
Yes.
How many counts were there, like alleged counts of drugging and raping women?
10, Michael. 10.
According to nerds.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's just the one count. Finish the story.
Cosby will be sentenced to just one count. The state guidelines recommend between 1 and 4 years of single count, but the district attorney made sure to request the maximum of 10 years, noting that Cosby has showed no remorse. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer? Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Cosby's legal team, his third since his December 15th arrest, argued for legality.
Can we back up? You're in your third year of college?
Yes.
I'm just making sure, because here at the old Wise Cracking with Winter Studios, we expect nothing but the best. You do want to continue to be an intern here, right?
I think so.
It's a college credit.
Yeah.
So yeah. We need to maybe pre-read these stories. Okay, so can we get along with this?
I want to get on with your life.
Cosby has showed no remorse. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Cosby's legal team, his third since December 15th arrest, Cosby's legal team argued for legitimacy.
argued for what?
Legitimacy.
We're going to give you the end.
Do you want to show it to me?
Yes.
Okay.
Right there.
They are arguing for leniency. I guess I'll just finish this one up. Judge Stephen O'Neill said that Cosby will be sentenced for just one count, which is a huge miscarriage of justice, in my opinion. The state guidelines recommend between 1 and 4 years for a single count, but the district attorney made sure to request the maximum 10 years, noting that Cosby has showed no remorse, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Cosby's legal team, his third since his December 15th arrest, argued for leniency given his age and frailty, including some problems with his vision. Okay, so there's Cosby. He's going to end up going to jail. Now, I locally here in Minneapolis, there was something going on at Matt's Restaurant. Pretty famous burger joint. I think you brought some notes in here.
Yes.
That's what you call a newspaper. You ever seen one before?
No.
Okay. Make sure you're speaking in the microphone.
Teen fleeing in stolen SUV crashes, killing 3.
Where was that at?
Not sure.
I think it was at Matt's Burger Restaurant. They're known for Juicy Lucy's. Have you ever been there with you and your college friends?
Yes, I have.
Okay, great.
A teenager speeding from straight troopers in stolen SUV hit another vehicle and killed 3 people early Sunday at a South Minneapolis intersection, where the wreckage came to rest outside the door of a popular neighborhood bar shortly after closing time. The collision occurred about 1:20 a.m. at the corner of Cedar Avenue South. State Patrol, the crumpled vehicles lay in front of Matt's Bar and Grill. The driver of the stolen SUV, identified as a Daquan J. Hogged 18.
Slow down. You got to slow down a little bit here. Got to let the audience try to follow along.
Of Minneapolis, suffered life-threatening injuries and was taken to Hennepin County Medical Center, where he is in police custody. The patrol said also taken to HCMC with unspecified injuries, where a 16-year-old girl and boys ages 16, 14, and 13 who were in the SUV. The patrol said the stolen Ford Escape caught the attention of a trooper about 1:15 a.m. bound Interstate 94 near the Lurie Hill Tunnel. The patrol said the SUV exited onto Highway 55 bound Cedar Avenue. The patrol said two troopers attempted to stop the SUV on the ramp leading to Cedar, but the interview with the driver got past them. A ground pursuit began at the point was suspended after four blocks. Once a patrol helicopter began tracking the SUV from above, the patrol said. In the wake of the second state patrol pursuit this year that ended with the crash in Minneapolis, family members of one of those killed Sunday are questioning the wisdom of a dangerous chase over a stolen car. Some things got to change. Not a shot, Ganeshun said Sunday.
I'm sorry. what was his name?
Natasha Gunderson said Sunday morning at the scene of her cousin's death. Early Sunday, Kimberly Gunderson, 48, died while a passenger in a pickup truck that was a Boulder side by a stolen SUV.
Oh, wow. Did anybody die?
Yes. Who those teenage drivers was fleeing state troopers. Authorizes said the state patrol said it had called off the pursuit before the crash, and it's still investigating whether its policies were followed. But the deaths have once again drawn attention to the predators.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
What was that last word?
Protocols.
Oh, thank you.
Of police chases in Minnesota. 72 people died during police prostitutes between...
I'm sorry. Police what?
Prostitutes.
Police prostitutes? I'm pretty sure...
How much is that?
Huh. Okay.
200.
It says police, P-U-R-S-U-I-T-S.
Pursuits?
Prostitutes.
No, P-U-R-S-I. You're in your third year of college?
Sometimes I just sleep in my classes.
You must have slept through about 13 years of them.
Yeah.
So far.
Between 1996 and 2015, according to a report released last year by the U.S. Department of Justice, of hoes 28 would not occur pants.
What was that one more time?
Occur pants.
A what?
It says occur pants.
Can I see the paper? Where's this word? The word, ladies and gentlemen, that we're looking for is...
It doesn't matter.
It does kind of matter. Occupants.
Oh.
Occupants.
Occupant. Chased vehicle.
Speaking to the mic.
Of the chased vehicle.
Not to yell.
Done.
And I guess that is going to wrap up the news, right? Right there, Madison?
Yes, there, Michael.
Well, thanks a lot for coming on down. I will let your professor know that you were here. And you did manage to read the news. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
You're really classing up the show. And speaking of the show, I think that's a wrap. What did I learn today? What did I learn brought to you by your friends over at Carpenter Real Estate in Indianapolis, Indiana? Look up your good old buddy, Paul Lambie. That's Paul Lambie over at Carpenter Real Estate. And he will get you set up with the home of your dreams. And I actually have another commercial to play. Let's see if I can find it.
You are looking for a great DJ because you have a wedding coming up, a birthday party, a bat mitzvah, a bar mitzvah, whatever. You're looking for the best DJ possible. Well, let me tell you. You're looking for Minnesota Superior Sound, Minnesota's number one self-acclaimed mobile DJ service. They can get it done for you. Find them on Facebook. That's Minnesota Superior Sound.
All right. Well, check those good people out if you need a DJ for your event. I learned that I'm never going to join the Navy based on what I heard. I've learned that when I bring somebody in to do the news, I should really check their college transcripts and make sure everything is on the up and up. And I just want to thank again everybody for tuning in. The shows are going to be coming fast and furious, so pay attention. I have a Facebook, I call it Facebook like page, Wisecracking with Winter. Feel free to like it. And if you'd like to email me, it's wisecrackingwithwinter@yahoo.com. You can get a hold of me there. I'm on Twitter at getwisecracking. And that's it. I can't really think of anything else to say. I'm going to wrap it up, and I will see you guys next time for another sexy, thrilling show. Goodbye.
Thanks, Mike. Well, that show was certainly something. I'm Mitch, executive producer of Wisecracking with Winter. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of Mike, email him at wisecrackingwithwinter@yahoo.com. If you're into Facebook, check out our Wisecracking with Winter fan page or follow us on Twitter at GetWisecracking. Make sure to listen and rate the show on iTunes and check us out on Google Play Music.
Thanks again, Mr. Pickles.